good singing all the way around. Let me see if I can find a button here for this here and turn that on. And we're looking forward to a good time with the Lord. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Isaiah. And over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, we read this morning a passage. We're going to read a couple of them tonight there. And in that same chapter number 14 that we're looking at. And so anyhow, I hope that you will let God speak to your heart. And I was looking here for, let's see here, right, and all that right there. In Isaiah chapter number 14, if you find the place you're able to stand, look in about verse number 9 again. We'll read 9, 10, and 11. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones, remember all them big shots that thought they knew more than God and died and went to hell? God said, I'm going to stir them up to meet you. People of the earth, he said, he hath raised up their thrones all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become as weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Talk about a bunch that's going to be worm bait. They are. Father, bless your word to every heart tonight. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again in the house of God. You pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to exalt and magnify your name together. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Lord, I pray you'd right every wrong, help every man to be a better man, every woman to be a better woman, every child to be a better child growing up. We just want to say thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. All right, I started a message this morning on hell, and I want to preach and title this one, if you will, please. I hope hell's not stirred up for you. In this lesson that you're looking at, while that these are people that had lived, now they've died, they've gone straight to hell, and of course the devil hadn't met them there yet, but he was an arch deceiver. You think anybody wants to just go to hell and burn in a bottomless pit in a lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched, and where there's darkness that can't be penetrated by light, and where there's weeping and there's wailing and there's gnashing of teeth? Nobody wants to go there like that. And yet these are people that were deceived by the devil. Now they're talking and they're saying, hey, we're stirred up to meet you. We're stirred up to greet you. We can't believe we were foolish enough to believe a lie, to be damned and believe not the truth like you talked us and suckered us out of. That's what the essence is. And let me tell you right now that whenever you're thinking, you know, here's what's wrong, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I realize I know that and all that business there. And let me say to you that hell is forgotten among many a pulpit across the country. It's not a pleasant subject to be able to preach on, but no doubt a needed subject. And because let me tell you, when people that you and I know, sometimes they're kin, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're friend, sometimes they're not. But when people die and leave this world, they either spend eternity in hell without God or they spend eternity in heaven with God. It's that simple. Only two places. I know Catholicism preaches a lie that there's a purgatory that you go to, but that's just a lie. You'll be doomed and damned. In fact, that's the reason why God told some of that crowd over there, he said, you're a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, you know, the Bible teaches you and I that we've got but so much time here upon the face of this earth. I will tell you, every time that you and I go very far in life, turn on a radio, turn on a TV, go up and down and see very many people that were once on top of the earth now is on top of them. I want to tell you, you've got so much time. This Bible said we ought to be redeeming the time. In other words, buying it up, using it wisely. You know, every time I get a chance to go somewhere and do something, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that loves their wives or spouse as good as we do here in this church. And if not, you can get that straightened out later, but you better redeem the time. You ain't got so much time to get it done in. But let me just say to you that every moment you're away, every moment you have to sacrificially be gone, I used to, of course, you know, now it's beyond that because a few little things beyond our control physically. But I used to like to go off, spend 3 or 4 days, you know, whether it be to hunt, whether it be to fish or whatever it was. But let me tell you, every day you're gone from the rest of your family is a time you can't buy back. You'll never get it back. And that's the reason why that I, most of the time, you know, and I've been somewhere and preach and go used to, and of course now the wife would go if I did, but anyhow, I used to go somewhere like that, and I'd go to missing her and missing them kids time I got out of town. It'd make me wish I hadn't have took the meeting. Somebody said, well, yeah, but you know God's got to be first. I don't know that God's as interested in somebody else's revival meeting at the expense of your family. You understand me? I know a preacher that's a dear friend of mine, and he can quote that Bible I'm talking about. He used to probably could quote most of it, all of it. And all that did is there, spend his time. While he's at home, he remembers to quote the Bible, studying the Bible, looking at the Bible. And all that did is there. And whenever his wife called and wanted to know where he was, and I said, well, yeah, he's here. He came hitchhiking down. And she said, well, I just wanted to talk to you for a minute, Brother Dennis. I said that we're in trouble. Our family's in trouble. Our marriage is in trouble. And I'll tell you the reason why it is. He's got time for everybody in the world but me. I appreciate both amens that I'm getting here. I don't have to have any amens because I know I'm right on it. He comes home and sits down, and he's got his head stuck in the Bible trying to remember and quote another scripture. I got to tell you something, fellas. Your wife is more important than learning another passage if that's all you're ever going to do. Your wife and family. Ain't nobody gets, a kid can't get on your nerves worse than it does mine. You know what I'm telling you? They just all hang off me and would live in my pockets and all that right there. But let me tell you right now, friend, it may irritate you a little bit, but you're not nearly as irritated as I am. I had to quit saying, you know, I'm just really not a kid person. Because this many of them hurt. See, mean he don't like me? No, it's just a matter of I'm not a good babysitter. And I love these kids and I love these children. But I don't care how you feel and what you had better stop long enough to redeem the time and take some time to hug and kiss your spouse. Oh, I know some of you women thinking, oh, ma'am, I'll have to go home and kiss my husband. You won't feel that way one of these days if he's drawing his last breath. Vice versa, fellas, how about that? You won't feel that way whenever you're standing by the bedside and wondering at the time that escaped by you. And you see what I'm telling you? Now, maybe we ought to have unholy communion or something as quiet as we are, but nonetheless, you're going to find out that a lot of people think they're going to have time for tomorrow. I'll do this or that later. You know, the Bible said that's why God put the passage in there for, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I've had people that literally, you know, make some stupid thing like, well, you know, my wife's not like your wife. My wife's yakking and beating her gums off. Well, tell her to shut up and hug her and kiss her a while. Or somebody, you know, my husband just is annoyed me and just won't shut up. Just a chatterbox. Well, tell him shut up. I want to kiss you for a little while. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Is that you're thinking, I can't. The kids are at home there. She's afraid the kids are going to want to. I was this morning, you know, well, I like to come to church, you know, everybody's greeting and happy, and boy, these kids are running up and hugging this and hugging my wife, and this all, and I got in line. She nearly hugged me before she recognized it was me. See, but there's always next service. No, I'm telling you right now is, if your family, if your life and your house, and it feels like the stagnation of hell, you're the only one can change it. You understand? You're never going to come down here praising God and waving your hands to the Lord and really mean it if you don't have your heart in tune with God and with your family. Let me tell you right now, you ain't got any problems tonight if a little money will fix whatever problem you got. See? And I can tell you right now, I know some folks in this day and hour and live that they ain't got two nickels to rub together, but they got God in their life. They love the Lord. You see, in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, whenever we read about this here, we're reading about and showing that here's some people that ran out of time. This reminds me over there in the book of Luke. Don't turn there. Where was it? About chapter number 16 and all that business there. And that man that died went to hell. He had big barns and a lot of money and this and that. But as a result, time ran out on him. Remember that old boy that finally said, what am I going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns and tear down these of God. I ain't got enough. I need more room to bestow all my fruits and goods. But God said, thy fool, tonight thy soul shall be required. Now these guys here, they're already in hell waiting on the devil to show up. They don't realize at all that he showed up trying to speak to them on the other side of life. And now they're in hell and it's too late for them. Do you realize at all that I'm sorry to say that when we look into here, that hell was a planned and is a planned place that was planned by the Lord, and it was planned for the devil and his angels. You know, he's a rebel against God. He always has been. Let me tell you right now is that you and I live under the curse until we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And let me say that I'm sorry. We've got some kinfolks that are going to be there meeting people that are going to be coming to hell very soon. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out some of them might have been co-workers. Some of them might have been church people. I got to say to you that the devil's the father of lies, and the Bible said that hell is created not only for him but for his angels and for those that were faithless. They just did not want to believe God and believe the Bible. I can't tell you how many people, and we try to go to the cemetery at least one time on Sunday, and I meet a lot of people, you know, they're out manicuring their yard, or they're busy washing their car, or they're busy doing this and that. You can tell they've got everything on their mind except going down to the house of God. Now, soon they're going to. I've seen some of them that are hobbling along worse than I am, and I guarantee you soon they're going to meet their Maker. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is that not only is it a planned place, but we'll give you a couple of things. You're going to find out that it is a populated place. Remember over there whenever David talked about and said that I was there and floods of ungodly men compassed me about. You talk about populated with sinners, child molesters, drunkards, dope heads, rapists, perverts, the sinner that purposed. Listen, I used to talk to people and they said, well, I don't know if I want to believe that or not. Well, you know, here's the fact. You can't believe it until you've heard enough preaching that God will either grant you repentance and faith. Yeah. You can't, you know, whenever you walk to somebody and say, hey, you believe in heaven, you believe in hell? Well, they don't know. How are they going to know that? Did you know the reason why God said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? You're going to have to hear some preaching and God tug at you for you to determine if you're going to receive it or reject it, one of the two. See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there are those that are satanic, those that are possessed. I'm talking about just full of the devil. And dear friend, you're not going to make a dent in no sadistic type people. And the world is now growing leaps and bounds with them. Every time I turn the corner, there's another. There's another one there that somehow or another they're God deniers, they're God defiers. Listen, do you realize to know that the place of hell is a place that's going to be painful? Not only the falling continuously in darkness, to show you how that if tonight, and we don't want to practice it here, because if the lights were to go out, I guarantee the first thing we'd do is be scrambling to get light and turn it on. I mean, that's normal. The world doesn't realize every time the lights blink, they go out. You can hear generators cranking up, and you can see people lighting candles. You can see people getting ready. Do you know why? We're just not lovers of darkness until it comes to spiritual matters. Now, if you're a child of God, you don't love darkness, you love light. But the world loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I can tell you what a pitiful place it's going to be when we hear those in hell that are screaming, that are crying, that are in torment, that are falling endlessly in the blackness of night, that can't be penetrated, it's so dark. And they're screaming, and there's weeping, and there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. I remember these that are going to the nursing homes, and I remember years ago, I used to go on a regular basis and preach there in the nursing home. One time I walked inside there, and I heard somebody holler, "Help! Help! Help!" And the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart and said, "Hell's going to be full of that. People screaming and needing some help, but it's going to be too late. You better call for help right now while you can get it. You better let God go to tugging at your heart." And let me tell you, it's a dangerous thing when God does tug at your heart and you just hardened it and you don't do anything more about it. At least you ought to humble your heart before the Lord and realize and know that, hey, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. And I'll tell you something, is that I want to personally realize and know that what I need is Him, and I don't want to wait too late to get it straightened up and straightened out with God. Last but not least, we're going to close with it. Revelation 20, and about verse number 10, the Bible said they were tormented day and night forever and forever. In Revelation chapter 14, verse number 11, He said they have no rest day nor night, those that die without hope and without God. See, it's not hard to get into hell. It's impossible to get out of there. That's why you ought to come to Christ. In Matthew 25, the Bible said that there's an everlasting fire that's mentioned with it. In 25 and verse 46 of Matthew, it's an everlasting punishment that He calls. In Mark chapter 3, verse 29, it's eternal damnation. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 9, He calls it everlasting destruction. Continuous destruction, continuous flame, continuous pain and agony that never's going to end, and the recipient's never going to die without it. Close, and I'm going to say to you that, if you will, what a good day it is to come to the Lord. If nothing else, acknowledging how good God has been to snatch us as a brand from the burning. We drove by a place tonight. We'll not mention the name, to protect the innocent. But a man that I used to personally witness to, a man that's been at a funeral where we were preaching, a man that, where his family, some of them used to be right here in this church, a man that professed to be an atheist, "I just don't believe God." Well, he's gone, and I can promise you he believes in it now, but it's just too late. Like the man that was in hell and cried, "Send somebody to my father's house. I've got five brothers there." It's too late. Too late. Not going to get that request. I said all that to be able to say this, is that in the day and hour that we're living in, if you're a child of God tonight, you ought to spend every day praising God that He saved you and snatched you as a brand from the burning. If you're not a child of God, it ought to terrorize your heart. And listen, I'm hoping God will terrorize you and disturb you, and that you find no peace until you find it at the feet of Jesus Christ, crying out as an empty-handed beggar. While we stand to our feet tonight, we get ready to pray and leave here. Do you really and truly know the Lord in the free pardon of sin? Are you redeeming the time, knowing that it's passing quickly? Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy word, and we thank You for the privilege to have come here tonight. I pray that You'd move upon every heart. I pray that, Lord, that You'd help us to be able to look unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. We want to say thank You now for these requests that have been mentioned. You know every need we have. Lord, we thank You and praise You for all You've done and all You're doing. In Jesus' name we pray.